Okay, we are plugged in and ready to go. And you're listening to the Kraz Files podcast with Adam, and it's Saturday the 6th of October 2018. And really everything that I do in regards to this project is up on my website now, krazfiles.com, C-R-A-Z-Z. So you can find everything over there, so much going up. And these podcasts also go over to iTunes. Someone emailed me saying that the iTunes tab on the website, when they click on that, it says that the podcast is not available in the iTunes store when it is. So maybe look on iTunes manually for the Kraz Files podcast. But I also put it up over at Real.Video and also YouTube and Twitter and my Facebook page. So lots to go through. There's also lots of great news widgets on the Kraz Files. You can check out Nexus, Newsfeed Australia and Renegade Tribune. And you can also log on to Open Source Truth, another great website we do over there with Natural Solutions Foundation. So plenty to go through. Meryl Dory is logging in with me today for a podcast from the US. How are you going there, Meryl?
I'm great, Adam. Thank you very much.
Right, we're finally plugged in. Finally plugged in. Little details that we must consider and fix up, but all good now. Why don't we just tumble down the rabbit hole anyway? And we've got a great show for sure. Always plenty to go through, but the website is AVN. So just for it has changed recently, hasn't it, to the Australian Vaccination Risks Network, but doing well.
That's
there.
That's right. That's right, but the web address is unchanged. It's avn.org.au.
Right, and so I'll put that up, all that information up with the podcast. What we'll do to start, because with this podcast going out to, I don't even know where anymore, it goes out all over the place. It actually gets fed through a lot of podcast channels and shared all over, and so God knows. So hello to all those people who listen, but why don't we start a little bit and just do a quick timeline to lead into this podcast, looking at your story a little bit and how you started the AVN, and you're back in the saddle now after stepping down. Now you're back as a president of it. Just for those listeners out there who might not be aware of your work and the AVN in Australia and what you're doing over there, let people know a bit about that.
Sure. As the people who are listening to me would probably realize, I am American by birth, but I've been living in Australia for 30 years now. And I started the AVN back in 1994. My eldest child was injured by his vaccines, first by the DTP, which is the old diphtheria, tetanus, and whooping cough vaccine that we don't use any longer. And then again later on, when he was 18 months old, by the measles, mumps, rubella vaccine. And it's been many, many years of working on his health. He is actually very aware of his own health right now, and he does an amazing job with his diet and exercise and all those things. But he still has ongoing issues, breathing problems, allergies, things like that, that I don't believe he would have had he not been vaccinated. And I say this because after starting the AVN, I have spoken with literally thousands of parents since that time. And many of them have children who have almost exactly the same story as my son. And this is one of the reasons why back in 1994 I started the AVN, because I had never been given any information to indicate that vaccines could be harmful in any way. I thought they were helpful, they would keep my children healthy, and there were no side effects at all. I didn't know that there was any problem that could occur. So it was a bit of a shock to the system when I saw what happened with my son, and I thought that was very unfair. So in 1994, after meeting with quite a few families whose children had been seriously injured by vaccines and one family whose child had been killed, I got together with a group of health professionals and parents, and we started this organization basically to provide a forum for discussion about the issues surrounding vaccination and also to support families who are looking for details from medical sources and other areas on the benefits and risks of vaccination. This was right at the beginning of the internet, and information was certainly not as easy to come by back then as it is today. So I think that the AVN has grown with the times. Our online presence is huge right now, but we still have a wide and diverse group of families in Australia and overseas who support the organization and who require our support for their families.
So it's a great group. And what happened recently with you deciding to step down and then get back on board? I know there was Tasha David, seems like a nice lady, haven't spoken to her yet, but she stood down and you're back in the saddle.
Yeah, Tasha's wonderful. Now, I actually stepped down around 2011. I don't even remember the exact year, but I think it was in 2011. And Greg Beattie, who has written probably one of the best books on vaccination, came on board as president for about 2 years. His book is called Fooling Ourselves on the Fundamental Value of Vaccines. He's a statistician, so he looked at this issue from an Australian standpoint and also from a standpoint of someone who didn't really want to look at the safety or the effectiveness of vaccines as much as he did want to look at whether or not they were necessary. So he got together an amazing amount of data showing that diseases in general had declined by close to 100%, the deaths from these diseases, and in some cases the reported incidents, had declined by close to 100% before the vaccines came in. So his question was, why did we bring in vaccines if these things were not causing problems at the time? And that's a really good perspective. And it sort of follows along from what the AVN has been doing, because from the very beginning we have said you have to ask yourself as a parent, as a health professional, as someone who's interested in this issue, three questions before you decide whether you should or should not vaccinate. Number one is, are vaccines effective? If I give my child a vaccine, is he going to be healthier for it? Two, are vaccines safe? That's an important question. What is the greater risk to my child, the disease or the vaccine? And going back to question one, are they guaranteed that they're not going to get the disease if they're vaccinated? And question three is, are vaccines necessary? Do we even need to worry about vaccinations, considering the fact that supporting the immune system with a good diet, with natural therapies, with all of these different things that we know create a healthier person, is that not the best way to actually prevent disease or ameliorate its effects rather than using vaccines that may not work? The AVN has been very active in this issue for almost 25 years. Our organization was the group that lobbied to get the conscientious objector clause brought in back in the late 90s when the government was trying to make it compulsory for parents to vaccinate. And until 2016, when No Jab, No Pay came in, parents were protected from government discrimination on this issue. Now the government has basically said that it's open slather for families who don't vaccinate. They can take away government entitlements. They can take away tax money that we have paid the government. They won't give it back to us. They are withholding early childhood education from families who have chosen not to vaccinate. And coming up in the near future, this is all being talked about in Parliament, we have No Jab, No Pay right now and No Jab, No Play, which affects children in early childhood, and the payments affect children up to the age of 19 years of age. But the government is talking about No Jab, No School, No Jab, No Job, and No Jab, No Pension. So the government is basically saying, we are going to control every aspect of your lives in relation to vaccination. And what the AVN stands for is freedom of choice and the right to make these decisions without any fear of government discrimination, financial penalties, or any other form of institutional bullying.
That's right. Yeah, and really, it's pretty incredible stuff going on in Australia. I mean, I've been covering it since No Jab came in. And I've said it before, and it's crazy, I know, but I think in a weird way we sort of needed it. Because, you know, we have such an incredibly strong movement now in Australia, but we do need something like the AVN. A lot of people criticize you and the AVN, of course, and there's a lot of infighting and all this trolling and crap going on in the anti-vaccination groups, as you know, but I don't see anyone else doing what you're doing and up on national television and meeting the politicians. There's Alona Lahn and many others, and we're all doing alternative media, and we have websites, and we've got this great connection happening now that we didn't have before. It's a bit of a worry in Australia because we don't have enough alternative media, and we've got so much control from organisations like News Corp and Fairfax, you know, where they're controlling so much of our printed press, and you read them all, especially when they're pushing the vaccination issue onto our children, and you look at all the TV stations and the breakfast shows and Channel 7 and 9 and SBS, you can turn them on one by one and they're all saying the same thing. They all act the same way. They speak the same. They have the same tones. They have the same head movements. It's all, you know, it really is astonishing, and that's why, you know, if I did what I did in America, I would just have to take a ticket and stand in line. But in Australia, it's quite unique still what we're doing. And that's why it stands out so much. And I think we have to continue because we are moving forward in a great manner. And I think we've come so far since, say, 2013 when they brought in this. It's only kind of intensified. I've said it before, seems like it's a standoff now with the government. I don't know what you're seeing or if you think we can force a back off here, but I'd love to sort of say to my kids in the future that, you know, our generation or our friends were all part of the movement that forced this no jab beast back down the hole, you know, or at least restricted some of these terrible draconian legislation they're bringing in, you know, or got rid of it altogether. You know, I know Italy have. But it's quite a worry in Australia with what's going on, you know.
You've covered an awful lot of points. I'm going to try to remember.
Don't worry about me. I'm a lunatic. Got a lot going in my brain. Don't worry. I'm like a broken down computer. You just cover what you need to. That's fine. I'm just making a point.
Thanks, Adam. If I felt it was hopeless, I wouldn't be doing what I'm doing. I saw I've got to tell you, in 1998, when we went to Canberra to lobby for the conscientious objector clause, which we eventually got passed into legislation, we were just a group of three mothers with no money, no experience, no nothing. And we went to Canberra. We met with the senators. We met with some members of parliament. We spoke with them. We showed them that we are reasonable, intelligent human beings, and we had valid concerns, and we were able to get legislation passed. Today is a different matter in that today politicians are terrified to even say that they think that parents should have a right to make choices. It is considered to be, you know, worse than antisocial. It's like, you know, you're committing genocide by saying that people who don't vaccinate for whatever reason, whether it's because they feel that it's too much of a risk or vaccines don't work, or they've had a child who's almost died from vaccines, the government's answer is keep vaccinating. They've removed just about every single medical exemption. The only one that remains is anaphylaxis, which is a life-threatening allergic reaction following a vaccine. So, you know, we are in a very difficult situation in Australia, and Australia is the worst country, the worst developed country in the world when it comes to this issue, because our constitution is so deficient. We tried to take the federal government to court to oppose no jab, no pay, and we were basically told by the top QCs in this country that we didn't have a hope because our constitution did not guarantee basic rights. We accepted that. It was devastating to us at the time because we worked really hard to get to that point. But we accepted it, and we are looking at other ways of achieving the same goal. And Adam, one thing I can tell you, as someone who is both an American and an Australian, there is a difference, I believe, in the way that people react. I think that Australians are more afraid of their government than Americans are, and we have to get over that, because the government is there to represent us. They are public servants. We are their masters. They are their slaves. They are our slaves. They treat us as if we were the slaves, and we have to stop allowing that to take place. We need to be strong. If we're not going to stand up and fight for our children, then we have no one to blame when our children have no rights left and when our children can legally be harmed by the government, which is what is happening now. So we need to unite. We need to be strong. We need to be vocal. And we need to not take no for an answer. If we stood up in Australia and did what Italy did. And in Italy, they had public protests with millions of people marching in the street every single week. And they actually got a new government put in that has overturned compulsory vaccination in Italy. And there are new laws coming in all the time that are even tearing that back further and giving people more rights. This is what we can accomplish in Australia if we would just get off our butts and stand together. And it doesn't matter whether you think vaccines are good, bad, or indifferent. Any thinking person would have to understand that vaccines are medical procedures. Every medical procedure carries with it certain risks of harm and even death. And if you are going to tell someone that they have to expose their children to a risk without any opportunity to say no, then you are not talking about a democracy. You are talking about a tyranny. You are talking about a fascist dictatorship. And I don't think anybody wants to see Australia go down that track. So we as citizens of a free nation need to be strong, and we need to act responsibly, visit our members of parliament, visit our senators, write letters to the newspapers when they publish crap articles that don't tell the truth, which, I mean, you were talking before about the mainstream media. I think the biggest favor we can all do to ourselves, to our brain cells, is to turn off mainstream news. Just don't even watch it. Don't go there because it's lies. It is all fake news. The weather is about the only thing you can trust. Everything else is rubbish. It's what they people like Packer and Murdoch want you to hear. And both of those companies are strongly invested in the pharmaceutical industry. So they are not going to tell you the truth about this subject or about many other subjects as well. They have a barrow to push, and that's what they're going to do.
That's right. Yeah, I don't even know if I trust the weather anymore. But it's unbelievable. And, you know, Stockholm Syndrome is a condition that causes hostages to develop a psychological alliance or a bond with their captors as a survival strategy during captivity. And that's what we have in Australia. And I don't know if this is going on because people have seen too much TV, or they've just become too complacent. They've just had the good life for too long. They're too lazy. I don't know what it is, but we need that. We need to get our backbones up, and we need to start acting like the people in Italy are acting, because I've been to these countries, and, you know, I've been in South America a lot, and I've seen these people. They get out on the streets and they fight back. They don't let the government do what they're doing here. And I find it unbelievable. You know, that Australians have allowed this to come through, and God help us. I hope that we can, as I said, try to fend this off and make some changes, because we don't want our children growing up in a future. And I've said this before, and I know you agree. You know, it seems like the pharmaceutical companies are moving into a position where they just control everything. I mean, you know, are they going to try and control our children's bodies when they're older, you know? I mean, what rights will they have? I mean, it just seems to be tumbling down levels and levels here, and as it just goes down and down and down. And some of the laws they bring in and some of the things they talk about and say, we'll go through some of the articles on the AVN about sedating children, you know, to catch them up with their vaccines. That was a big article that I shared there as well. But some of the stuff, Meryl, that they're talking about, and these health ministers, and the lack of consideration and care they show within our government towards people who have vaccine injuries and towards people like us who just want a fair go and a fair level playing ground. We can't seem to get it at the moment. I'm wondering, with you compared to Australia, being a US citizen as well, under Donald Trump, what are you seeing there with them? Have you seen a back off there in regards to this sort of mad vaccination push that we're seeing here in the media and with the government, or is it getting worse there?
I don't believe it's getting worse since Donald Trump was elected.
Good.
That said, Donald Trump had promised to put Robert Kennedy Jr. At the head of a vaccine safety commission, and to date he has not done that. He has also appointed people to the CDC and the National Institutes of Health who are in bed with pharma. So I don't see a whole lot of positive change, but that said, he's had his hands full for the last 2 years with a country that's basically wanting to either impeach or assassinate him. So I think that he's really, I believe strongly in my heart that he wants to do this. He has spoken out publicly about believing that vaccines are one of the causes of the huge autism epidemic. And as bad as it is in Australia with vaccines, it's worse in the United States because the U.S. has more vaccines within the first 12 months of life than any other country. Australia has 23 vaccines. If you're Aboriginal, there's more vaccines. Aboriginal or Torres Strait Islanders get more vaccines. But 23 vaccines for Caucasians in the first 12 months of life. In the United States, it's 26. The U.S. has the worst infant mortality of any developed nation and spends five times as much as the next developed nation on what they call health care, but what I call sickness care. And this is the issue. If we're looking at evidence-based medicine, which is supposedly the gold standard now, we should be seeing that children are healthier with all of these vaccines and drugs. But 50% of all children are currently being treated for a chronic condition. One child in six is developmentally delayed. The statistics on the sicknesses in our children, cancers are shooting up, skyrocketing. It's one of the leading causes of death in children now. And in the 1950s, cancer wasn't even listed in the top 10. And now it's one of the top reasons that a child will die. Our children are sicker than ever. And I believe from my research and from everything that I've read that vaccines are one of the major causes for this lack of health. Antibiotics and our diet are two other major causes. And I don't know if we've mentioned it yet, but October is International Vaccine Injury Month. And it's a time where countries all around the world honor those families who've had children or loved ones, because a lot of people who are killed or permanently injured by vaccines are not children, they're adults. And we honor them in October all around the world, because these are the people that the governments and the medical community and the media pretend don't exist. And yet we are legion. We are absolutely legion, the families who've been affected by vaccines. We're told that one in a million will have an adverse reaction. And I remember in the 1980s, there was someone who worked for the Bureau of Biologics in the United States. I believe his name was Bobby McFerrin. And he said that everyone, and the Bureau of Biologics was a government department, part of the National Institutes of Health. It doesn't exist anymore. But he said everyone who gets vaccinated is adversely affected in some way. And that was at a time when people were getting between 11 and 15 vaccines by school age. Now they're getting between 54 and 69 in that same period of time. And the incidence of autism and developmental delays and cancer and autoimmune illnesses are an indication that we are destroying the health and the brain of an entire generation of children, and nobody is paying any attention. The AVN put up a billboard in Brisbane a few days ago And it asks the question, who is healthier, the vaccinated or the unvaccinated? And that is a question that nobody in the medical community or the government is asking or trying to answer. And it is one of the most basic questions. There has never been a comparative study comparing the health. And I'm, when I say study, I mean a government-funded, independent, long-term study comparing the health of the unvaccinated with the vaccinated. And considering the fact that we've been using vaccines for well over 200 years, and since vaccination started in the late 1700s, there has been a large percentage of both the lay and the medical community who have said that vaccines are causing more harm than good. You would have thought that at some point within these hundreds of years, this question would have been studied, but it hasn't been. So we are demanding that the government actually do that study. And Australia is uniquely placed to actually do that quickly and cheaply because we have the Australian Childhood Immunization Register that is now an Australian immunization register. It tracks everyone. Until 2016, it only tracked children up to the age of 7. But it's linked with the Medicare database. So you have a you can separate the cohorts who are completely unvaccinated, the ones who are partially vaccinated, the ones who are fully vaccinated. And you can enter codes like how many of the vaccinated have autism, how many of the unvaccinated, how many of the partially vaccinated. That would be a simple matter of writing a computer program and pushing a button. All of this information is de-identified, so there is no privacy concern. The government has been collecting this data for over 20 years, and they are not allowing anyone to study this issue. 5 years ago, I was on, I think it was the Today Show, Good Morning Show, I can't remember what it was called, with Professor Peter McIntyre, who was the head of the National Center for Immunization Research and Surveillance, NCIRS. He did, didn't he? I don't think he expected what I said to be said.
He did a few and a he was sweating too, yeah.
And personally, I don't believe that he was honest with me or with the people watching that show because I said that I had spoken with him 2 years earlier about doing this study and he had said it was interesting, a study comparing the health of the fully vaccinated with the fully unvaccinated. He said it was interesting and we should talk again about it, but he never responded to anything I sent him. And we were on this television program and I brought it up again and he fumbled a bit and then he said, oh, actually, that study is being looked at right now. And I said to him, well, why don't you involve the AVN? Because we are stakeholders on this issue. They're not stakeholders. The NCIRS is not a stakeholder. The pharmaceutical industry is not a stakeholder. The government, in a way, is a stakeholder because they're paying for the vaccines. But the biggest stakeholder on child health are the parents of the children. And we are totally locked out of any sort of negotiations or any sort of involvement in government policy when it comes to vaccination. And he said that he would. We have filed GIPAs, which are, they used to be called Freedom of Information Claims, with the NCIRS to try and find out where the information is. We were told it was going to cost us thousands of dollars to get that information because they would have to copy data. Now, I didn't ask them to copy data. I asked them to tell me where the study was at. And I have written to them many times. Peter McIntyre is no longer with them. He's moved over to New Zealand. God help them. And nobody has ever responded to me. I have tried to get my member of parliament, who's no longer in parliament, to write on my behalf, and he would not do it. So there is a wall of silence that's been thrown up on this issue. When it comes to actually being transparent and being responsive to those whose families have been affected by vaccines and who want simple scientific answers to valid questions. And that is unacceptable as far as I'm concerned.
It's incredible. That's what it is. And that they can get up on national television and just make up whatever they want, you know. They seem to think that they're above the law. It really is astonishing, and they're not. And I've seen it all the time. Yeah, they just lie if they need to. That's their backup plan always. But this is really interesting, I knew this before and I forgot about it, but a lot of people would not recognize this. You're talking about this childhood vaccination register in Australia being linked with Medicare, and that's very interesting, isn't it? I'm guessing yes. Because, you know, everything does go through Medicare. I mean, so you have your baby and your baby's vaccinated from 6 months. If there are problems or anything from just flus or whatever it may be, allergies, anaphylaxis, you know, asthma, I could go on all day, but these are obviously the parents are taking them to the doctors and medical centers through their Medicare card, and that's being registered there. That's what you're talking about, isn't it? So that connection's already been made. It's all in the system.
Exactly. So every child under the age of 7, as long as they're registered with Medicare, and now every adult over the age of 7 who has a Medicare number is on this register. So every time you go to your doctor for any reason whatsoever, that information will be matched up against what the register, the immunization register, shows. So if, for instance, a child is vaccinated fully and they go to the doctor and they are diagnosed with asthma, asthma has an actual number assigned to it by the health department. So you can put in a search, a query, into the database to say, okay, here is the code for asthma. How many cases of asthma have been reported? How many of those people were fully vaccinated, partially vaccinated, unvaccinated? And it is my understanding from correspondence that I had back in 2002 with the Liberal government, who were in power at that time. John Howard was in power. I wrote to the government and I asked them to please do this study. And I didn't get a response from the Minister for Health. I didn't get a response from the Prime Minister's office or my local Member of Parliament. I got a response from the head of the Liberal Party. And one of the things he said was, we know why you are asking this question. You're asking it because you think this study will show that the unvaccinated are healthier than the vaccinated, and we will not do this study because it might lead to change government vaccination policy. And that's, as far as I'm concerned, not just cynical, it's criminal. So what they were saying to me anyway is, we know that the unvaccinated are healthier, but we're not actually going to do anything to prove it, because then we might have to change the way we operate. It might cost us all the money that we get from pharmaceutical companies. We might have a backlash from the medical community, and it would cause too many problems for us. So your problems are fine, but don't worry about that. We are going to worry about pharma before we worry about the population of Australia.
That's right. It's crazy stuff, man. And there was an article just came out recently, Meryl. You would have seen it from the Guardian newspaper. I mean, it's the biggest newspaper in Europe, about pharmaceutical industry donating millions of dollars to both Australian political parties. And most people already know this, I know, but this is from the Guardian newspaper, folks, and it's pretty unbelievable when you look at... you know, it says here about 72 separate pharmaceutical businesses engage paid lobbyists to influence government decisions and policy in this country. And there's all these firms involved, all this money changing hands. I mean, this is mainstream media. They're telling you, you know, that the pharmaceutical companies are donating millions of dollars to our government. I don't know if what you think about all this in regards, because they obviously don't mention the vaccination market, the childhood vaccination market here. But I'm just wondering about that, Meryl. How much money goes to not only the government in regards to that, but we'd have to look at the media as well. You know.
I know. And we in Australia, New Zealand and the United States are the only countries that have direct-to-consumer pharmaceutical advertising. And I can tell you, if you watch commercial television in the U.S., every second commercial, and sometimes every commercial, is a pharmaceutical commercial. And, you know, ask your doctor if dying from this drug is right for you. That's basically what they're saying. But in Australia, it's not quite as overt. But the pharmaceutical industry is known to spend twice as much on advertising and promotion as they do on research and development. And they are the richest industry in the entire world. Now, one thing that people need to be aware of with vaccines is that with drugs, pharmaceutical companies get a patent on a drug, and I don't know how long patents last, but once the patent expires, then the generic drugs come out and the pharmaceutical companies don't make very much money from those drugs. They spend a lot of money in research and development, and then they reap a huge boon from the marketing of that drug for a few years until it's no longer in patent, and then it's no longer profitable. So they try very hard to make drugs that are look-alike drugs so they can get a new patent, but it doesn't always work. Vaccines, on the other hand, are not subject to patent. And when a company makes a vaccine, it becomes a blockbuster, and it remains a blockbuster because not only do they not have to market it, the government markets it for them, but it is required to be used. I mean, Australia does not have compulsory vaccination, but parents are pressured, if they want money from the government, to agree to vaccinate their children. So they have a captive market, basically. It is a marketer's dream if you have a product that everybody has to use. So this is why there are over 300 new vaccines that are currently in testing. And as they are introduced, they will be added to the schedule. As they are added to the schedule, parents will be required to use them. There have been new vaccines added to the schedule in Australia just in the last 12 months. The flu vaccine looks like it's going to be added to the schedule very soon. The sky is the limit. The number of locations that you can actually inject a child seems to be the only thing limiting this. And what the pharmaceutical companies are trying to do now is to be able to put all the vaccines into one needle, because parents don't like getting four or five needles for their children in one visit. So that is the only thing standing in the way of probably dozens of vaccines at a single visit. Vaccines are the bread and butter of the pharmaceutical industry. They are their most profitable sector. When Merck lost all that money, Merck is a big pharmaceutical company, Merck had to pay out billions of dollars in fraud claims and in compensation because of one of the drugs that they marketed, Vioxx, which looks like it's killed well over 500,000 people. And they hid the information on the risks of Vioxx. It only came out in a court case. So they lost billions of dollars on Vioxx, but they made that all back on Gardasil, which is the cervical cancer, so-called cervical cancer human papillomavirus vaccine. No matter how much they lose on other drugs, they always make money on vaccination. And in the U.S., they make money more than any other place, because the American government in 1986 indemnified pharmaceutical companies. Even if they intentionally put poisons in the drugs, even if they hide the information about the risks of vaccines, they cannot be sued. The doctor who administered it cannot be sued. And the government cannot be sued. A special court was set up, which we call Vaccine Court, and special masters listen to the cases and adjudicate based on that. The money that is paid to people whose children have been killed or injured by vaccines is paid by the people who are parents. An excise tax was added to every dose of vaccine, and that's where the money comes from. They've paid over $4 billion in compensation, but there are no precedents that are set by any of these judgments. And Robert Kennedy, who I mentioned earlier, has become quite an activist on this issue. And he and Del Bigtree from Vaxxed have taken the Department of Health and Human Services to court, because when this policy came in 1986, the government required that the pharmaceutical companies submit certain studies every 2 years to the Health and Human Services Department to show that the vaccines were safe and were working as predicted. And in over 30 years, they have not produced the study once, and Health and Human Services has not requested the study. They have no responsibility, no culpability. And all they do is make money without having to do anything to improve vaccines or to show that they're safe or effective. And this is a criminal situation. This is a crime against humanity. This is the sort of thing that we saw with the Germans in the concentration camps. There is absolutely no difference between what is happening with vaccines today and what Joseph Mengele did in the camps. Our children and we, if we accept vaccines, are guinea pigs. We are part of an uncontrolled experiment. And if we are injured or if we are killed, nobody is keeping track of it and nobody is compensating us.
That's right. And man, I tell you, these things can be, you know, potentially lethal. And you saw the story, Meryl, about Lindsay Day from Sydney.
Yes.
That was a shocking case. And I don't know what's happening with the family now, but I've gone through it before. But for, you know, people overseas, this man, a healthy, fit 39-year-old man from Sydney, they're saying he was perfectly healthy. He went in for a flu vaccine. A flu shot and a pertussis.
And a DTaP.
DTaP as well. I think it was to see a relative or someone's little child after they've been born. He went and got that. And he was basically declared brain dead a couple of days later. He also had a seizure. And he was feeling like sick and really bad flu-like symptoms. And couldn't go to work. He collapsed. He stopped breathing. They took him in the ambulance and he was declared brain dead the next day. And you know, they're going to come out and tell you that this is one in a billion, or, you know, well, this is one in a million. It rarely happens to anyone. And we even have the AMA in Australia just showing no remorse for this man or his family. Just, you know, basically yes. Coming out and whitewashing it and walking off, you know. I did a podcast on this a few weeks ago, and what I was saying, and I was just listening to a new podcast by The General up there at Real News Australia with Andy. They have a new podcast. You can find that at realnewsaustralia.com and on the Facebook page, General Knowledge. And they were talking about the same thing as me, Meryl, and about how if you're looking at products that are deemed to be unsafe or injure especially children or adults, you can see massive product recalls on all of these. I mean, my car just got recalled because there was something with the handbrake and they had to take them all in their Mitsubishis, and there was nothing wrong with it, but they had to fix it anyway. We've had the strawberry debacle here where the government's gone to the ends of the earth to fix this and find those who are putting these needles in the strawberries, these whack jobs. But, you know, you see it all the time with toys that maybe at Christmas they say they could be a choking hazard and they could injure kids, and they've got to take them all off the shelves and issue apologies. You've seen them with the formulas for kids, you know. It could be absolutely any product if it's deemed to, you know, that it could be unsafe to the Australian public, or if it injures someone or kill someone, there's hell to pay. But people get jabbed with a flu shot and a DTaP, for example, like this man. They die and nothing's done. And we've said that before, that the vaccine market, you know, these kind of vaccines are the only thing I can think of in the world where they injure and kill people and nothing's done about it. I mean, if a kid goes down to a local shop and gets poisoned from a drink or something, or someone sells a product in the supermarket and someone gets sick, they have to sometimes pull them off every supermarket shelf in the entire country. There's huge fines, there's apologies, sometimes these companies almost go broke. And then you get the Food and Drug Administration's involved. I mean, it could be a huge drama because the government's main... pinpoint here is to protect the Australian public from any harm, especially our children. But what about this? The vaccine manufacturers and people getting injured from vaccines and dying? Nothing.
Exactly. There's no duty of care. And not only that, vaccines, we are told, are being given for the greater good. So for the good of society. Therefore, the unlucky few, according to the government, who get killed or injured are simply collateral damage. Now, you spoke about Lindsay Day. The AVN has a Facebook page. If you go to Facebook and just type in avn.org.au, you'll find the page. And we've been putting up stories several times a day for International Vaccine Injury Month. And yesterday we featured Lindsay Day, and his mother-in-law and his partner have both written on the page. I invite everybody to come and look at it because they were responding to an article that was published in the Guardian newspaper that said anti-vaccine man killed.
That's now, right. I had noted that. Yes, I did. I noted that also in the Daily Mail.
That's right. Oh, it may have been the Daily Mail.
It was.
I may have said the wrong. I'm sorry. I apologize. I did say the wrong paper. It's the Daily Mail.
It was. It was in the link there. Anti-vaccine family.
Yes, that's right. And I'd like to just read to you, if it's okay, what Lindsay's mother-in-law said. Her name is Carrie Keene Shoesmith, and she said, Lindsay was my son-in-law, and quite the contrary. We were always very pro-vaccines until the dreadful day that we lost someone that meant the world to us all. Now, after looking into it, we are amazed at the toxins that are in these vaccines, and the worst of all we have learned is that we can't trust doctors, and that's really sad. We wrongly assume that they knew what's best for us. And that's the biggest lie of all. I would never say don't get vaccinated, but just know exactly what poisons are going into your body. Be informed, then make your choice. I had my flu/whooping cough shot 4 days before Lindsay got his. I didn't get sick, but I've had severe asthma ever since, something I haven't had for over 30 years. No more vaccines for me. Our lesson was that just because you haven't had a reaction in the past means nothing. There are different things added to it every year, and Lindsay had the flu vaccine before. This year, his body reacted severely, and we lost him. People, just educate yourselves, please. And they are being treated like criminals simply because they are saying that Lindsay died as a direct result of his vaccine. And if it was any other drug, if he had been given an aspirin and died, if he had been given an antibiotic and died, the connection would have been made. But with vaccines, they never make the connection. Cover-up is the way of handling any reaction to a vaccine. Correlation does not equal causation is something we're always told. So the fact that someone died or was seriously injured immediately following a vaccine does not mean that the vaccine caused the reaction or the death. But when we look at the incidence of deaths and severe morbidity from infectious diseases and how they declined before vaccines came in, we are told that vaccines are what caused that decline. Correlation in that instance equals causation. So it's not good science. It's not good morality. And it is just horrible that parents and people are put into this position of making a decision regarding their health or the health of their families without being given informed choice. That's all that the AVN asks, is that everyone is given all the available information and allowed to make a decision without fear of bullying, financial penalties, or discrimination. And we don't think that's a lot to ask. We think that's pretty reasonable.
Yes, that's right. We also have you know, Ben Hammond over there in Western Australia had the same DTaP vaccine, and you know, basically just absolutely hammered him. And we have so much Saba button in Western Australia with that flu shot, the flu vax. I did a whole article on that and made brain damage. This is not just a one-off case or one in a million like they're trying to tell you. This Lindsay Day case, this is a healthy 39-year-old man, and this absolutely proves without a shadow of a doubt that you do not know how a person is going to react after they've been vaccinated. You don't know about these new vaccines and what's in them, and when that goes into the body, into the bloodstream, and right into the system, into the core of that human being, you do not know how they're going to react, and you certainly don't know how a child's going to react, whether it could be just bad flu symptoms, it could be a seizure or death. Nobody knows. A doctor doesn't know, the damn politicians and health ministers don't know, and all their army of trolls don't know. None of them know, and as I've said a million times, if this does happen to you or a loved one and they die or they cop a severe adverse reaction, none of these people who push the vaccines onto you in the first place are going to be there for you to comfort you. They're going to completely ignore you. And in this article, it's unbelievable, Meryl, what they actually said to the family. They said, the doctors said, they pulled them aside and they said, listen, off the record, it's very clear what has happened, obviously, to your son, but you are never going to get anyone to admit it. That's astonishing.
Yes. In Australia, doctors are losing their license to practice medicine simply because they have written out medical exemptions for families whose children have been nearly killed or seriously injured by vaccines. So a doctor is no longer able to use his medical expertise when he comes to dealing with his patients. The government has said, you are not allowed to do this, and we will penalize you if you protect your patients. Sure. And, you know, Ben Hammond is still I don't know, it's 5 years, I think. He's still fighting for compensation. This is a man who has been unable to work. He's got a family of, I think, five children. They have nobody to help support them. And the government has treated them like garbage. And, you know, he was lied to by the hospital. The hospital told him that he would not be allowed to see his newborn child unless he got the DTP vaccine. And he believed them, and he got the vaccine, and he was injured immediately. His wife, who had just given birth, got the vaccine, and she has had a seizure disorder ever since. So that's two for two on that one lot of vaccines. Was the vaccine recalled? Was anybody looking at it to find out why there was such a huge rate of reactions too in one family within 24 hours? No, nobody has done anything, because for the greater good, this vaccine is being administered. And the saddest thing with Lindsay Day and with Ben Hammond is that with Lindsay, that flu vaccine was admitted to be less than 10% effective. And the DTP vaccine, the diphtheria, tetanus, and whooping cough vaccine, they're giving it to prevent you from giving whooping cough to a newborn child. That vaccine actually increases the risk that you are going to be a spreader of whooping cough. And they are not giving people that information. I think if they said to people, well, this vaccine is 10% effective, so we're going to have to vaccinate 900 people before we prevent one case of flu, and this vaccine may actually increase your risk of spreading whooping cough by as much as 40 times, do you still want to take the shot? How many people in their right minds would actually say, yeah, go ahead, give it to me?
It's unbelievable, isn't it?
It's
incredible. Just to back you up again, I've mentioned this a lot. It's an incredible thing, but anyone can look it up. Why put it up? It's from the CDC website, Mel. From the CDC, and this is an incredible study: pertussis infection in fully vaccinated children in daycare centers in Israel. They went in and investigated all these kids who had pertussis who were vaccinated. And you can look clearly here at the conclusions, and it's saying vaccinated adolescents and adults may serve as reservoirs for silent infection and become potential transmitters to unprotected infants. They're telling you that it hardly works here, really, and therefore young, recently vaccinated children may serve as reservoirs and potential transmitters of infection.
Yeah, and it's worse than saying it hardly works. What it is it's counterproductive. It increases the risk of spreading whooping cough. And it increases the risk of spreading a type of the bacteria that is more virulent than the wild strain that was around before we started pushing vaccination. Now, in 1994, Australia started really pushing the whooping cough vaccine. Our vaccination rate in children who were fully vaccinated was about 71%. I mean, if we had a 71% vaccination rate, there would be tearing of hair and you know, ripping of clothes from thinking that we were going to be killing people. 71%, and we had about 300 cases of whooping cough reported nationwide. In 2005, for the first time, Australia had a 95% vaccination rate against whooping cough. I hope I'm getting the date right. It was either 2005 or 2008. We had 14,000 cases of whooping cough reported that year. And so we had a huge increase in the reported incidence of whooping cough, mostly in the fully vaccinated. And our answer was, we have a 95% vaccination rate. That's not high enough. Let's get more people vaccinated. And I'll tell you something, no matter how many children we get vaccinated, if we get 100% of the children vaccinated, children only represent about 30% of the population. The adults who are walking around got the vaccine as children. They are not vaccinated, and nobody's talking about this. It's the elephant in the room. So we have the vaccinated contracting and spreading the disease, and the unvaccinated are being blamed.
That's right.
Yeah, it's crazy.
Oh, my goodness. And, you know, I hope people can share this podcast with relatives and loved ones, because, you know, we're not telling anybody not to vaccinate. We're just simply telling people that it needs to be a choice. Obviously, what happened to Lindsay Day proves that there are risks that come with every single vaccine, and we don't know how people are going to react. And as we always say, if there's a risk, there needs to be choice. You cannot force this onto people. It's just it's absolutely crazy what's happening. And you know, with such a severe case, Meryl, as this man dying after receiving these shots and having a seizure and then being declared brain dead. I mean, this is an incredible case. You would think that Dr. Tony Bartone, who's the new president of the AMA, or Greg Hunt, or our government, would be jumping through rings of fire to find out what happened to this man and how it can be stopped. You think that they would be stopping this vaccines until a full investigation is put underway? Because that's what we're made to believe about the vaccine industry, that they're constantly working overtime to protect the public from vaccines. And, you know, if someone gets an injury in Zimbabwe or Australia or Chile or Argentina or somewhere, you know, then Dr. So-and-so gets a call on his red phone at night that someone's had an injury and he's down the laboratories and they're working on it and they're doing data and they're trying to discuss and work out how they can fix what happened and clean this industry up. But nothing gets done. Nothing's actually being done at all. Isn't it incredible? It's remarkable. Where's the health ministers? You know, there's no comments here.
There's no profit in trying to make vaccines safer. There is absolutely no profit in that. The only thing that the government can do is continue business as usual and say that this was a one in a million, if they admitted it all. Now, I do have to say, I've just clicked on the link to the Daily Mail and they've changed the headline. The family was going to contact them. They've taken out the anti-vaccine thing, which is what media loves to call us, just because we are concerned about vaccine safety. They don't call you anti-antibiotic if you've had a near-death experience with antibiotics, or you know, they don't say anything like that. But to question vaccines, you're automatically anti-vaccine.
Do you know what it was, Meryl? It wasn't actually the heading. I got the original article.
Oh.
It wasn't the heading. It was actually in the bar. When you search. And so when you read in the search, it said anti-vaccine family. But when you got up the article, it wasn't so. They did it on purpose. It was very sneaky. Yeah.
You're right. It still says that. It still says
that. It says it in the tool in your bar where you search. Yeah.
It does. Yes, you're right.
Mm-hmm. So that's what they need to ask them to take out, because that's what I saw straight away. I was like, wow. Yep. So they put that in there, see, because it's been turned into a slur, mostly by the Australian media. It's like this slur. It's like a dirty slur on people, you know, the anti-vaxxers. We don't take, you know, don't take them seriously. But this is an incredible, incredible case, and we're seeing it so much. Anyone can go to my website, crazfiles.com. I've got a category up there called vaccine damage. It's mostly from the mainstream media around the world. It's all documented, and go through that. People can have a look at all the damage these things are causing all around the world. It's phenomenal. And absolutely nothing's being done. We had an incredible case, of course, over in Samoa, didn't we? At least the Samoans went out and did something. And I think it's sad about the nurses being charged. But I did say on a podcast, I think that is also necessary. I think if a nurse or a doctor or anyone injects a child or someone with something that's going to injure or you know, harm or kill that person, there needs to be charges and they need to go to jail. And I think that little country, that little Pacific Island country, has stood up and done something about this at least.
Yes, they have. And it is good that someone was charged. It should have been the doctor, according to what I've heard, because he ordered the nurse to give the vaccine. Yeah. This was a case where two children were killed within 24 hours, well, I think within 6 or 7 hours,
MMR,
by the same lot of the measles, mumps, rubella vaccine. That's right. And what unfortunately seems to have happened, Samoa immediately withdrew the vaccine from use, to their credit. That wouldn't happen in Australia, but in Samoa it did. But they called in experts, and if you could see me, I'm using inverted commas, from New Zealand, and one of them is Helen Katusis Smith, who is basically a pharmaceutical tool. She does not have great knowledge on this issue. She has testified before and been very wrong in what she said. And she's basically trying to say that the vaccine had nothing to do with this. And, you know, this is a child who died within minutes of vaccination, as other child did, too.
One
of these families had already lost a child to vaccines. The second family had already lost a child about 2 years ago to a vaccine. And they were convinced that the vaccine had nothing to do with it. They brought their second child in and got, I think it was a boy, the MMR vaccine, and he died within minutes. So imagine being that parent and having two children taken away from you, two perfectly healthy children, because of vaccination. And all you're being told is, we don't know what caused it, but it wasn't the vaccine. So, you know, I don't know what the government of Samoa is going to do in the long run, but they have relied on bad advice, if they've relied on the advice of Helen Patusis-Smith, because she really and truly does not know enough about this issue, and as far as I'm concerned, is not an independent source of information. This is the thing. Why don't we have more independent experts on this issue? We're told that the government can't find people who are not independent of the pharmaceutical industry. Almost all of our government advisors who write policy on vaccinations and drugs are being paid by the pharmaceutical industry. There is no arm's length advice being given. So it's not good enough for the government to say they can't find independent experts. They can. They're out there. They're not trying because they don't really want to know. If you got independent experts, we would have to change our vaccination schedule. We would have to get rid of some of the vaccines that we're using right now. And we would have to be more honest with parents when advising them about what to do regarding vaccination, and all of that could lead to the government getting not nearly as much money from pharma as they currently do. So that's why we don't have it.
I do have a little bit extra time. I've got a little bit of time left to go over vaccinated or unvaccinated as we finish up here.
Yes, sure.
We're pretty much right on time, but I wanted to go over this new one up on AVN site about vaccinated or unvaccinated, who is healthier. This is a billboard we're talking about that you've erected up in Queensland. We've had a lot of drama about these learntherisk.org. I think they were behind some of the billboards in Western Australia. We have these government officials and health ministers and all sorts of people in the media wetting their panties over wanting to, you know, take these billboards down. They really viciously want to get these billboards down. Yes. But it's okay for them to advertise junk food and all this stuff to our children. You know, I can drive down the street and there's a two-story high cheeseburger up there, you know, and all this stuff that goes on. It's okay. Also to, you know, pump pornography through the internet onto our children. All of this stuff's fine, but they don't want a simple billboard up. That's just asking people to learn the risk. It's not listing the vaccines and their ingredients and what it might do to you harm-wise. It's just telling
That's
you,
right.
You know, do you know what's in a vaccine? Do you want to know? Go here. So they're throwing a big tantrum really for nothing, and it shows you how desperate they've become and how desperate they are to maintain this lie. As more people wake up and we want more and more information, and it's up to every single Australian, it's their damn right, Meryl, to demand to know more information in regards to what's going into their own children, into their bodies.
Exactly.
These vaccines. But this, tell us, we'll finish up on this here, because I said to you yesterday, sure, on your Facebook page, on the AVN Facebook page, got saturated with these Savin trolls. I'd say they're mostly Stop the Australian Anti-Vaccination. You're not even named that anymore, but they were all on there. It seemed to be all them, so you've blocked a whole bunch. They're domestic terrorists. This criminal behind Reasonable Hank is a domestic terrorist. They need to be arrested. Blocked a whole bunch of them. So the page is looking better now, but this has really stirred up the hornet's nest, this amazing sign that you've put up. So tell us a bit about this and what people can do to get involved and help here with this sign and help the AVN.
Fantastic. Yes, now we've put up a billboard. We actually have two billboards in Queensland right now. One of them is in a rural area and it has not raised any hackles whatsoever. And it simply says, Oh, gosh, I forget. It's Tasha's story. Tasha David, who used to be the president of the AVN, she has 6 vaccine-injured children. And the billboard is shows a picture of one of her autistic children and asks people to find out more information about vaccination. Now, we've had that one up for almost a year. And we do get a lot of people looking at the website trying to find information after seeing that billboard. But just a few days ago, as I said, for International Vaccine Injury Month, we put up a billboard in Brisbane that simply says vaccinated or unvaccinated, which is healthier. And we don't answer the question, but we've got a link to our website. And on our website, we have a page of information. It's linked right on the homepage, avn.org.au. Links to studies that have been done, small studies, because as I said before, the government has refused, not just our government, the American government, every government has refused to study which one is healthier, the overall health of the fully vaccinated versus the fully unvaccinated. But there have been some rather large, one of them with 20,000 respondents, studies that have been done overseas in the United States. And the results from those studies show a shockingly high rate of things like autism and allergies and anaphylaxis and behavioral and intellectual disabilities in children who are vaccinated. More than 4 times higher rate of autism in the vaccinated, 30 times higher rate of allergic rhinitis, which we used to call hay fever, but it's an allergy to the environment. These are very concerning results. And this survey, this study has been out for probably 2 years now. I'm guessing, I could be wrong, but it's somewhere around that area. And not one person in the government has said, maybe we need to look at this. Maybe the fact that we're spending so much money building schools specifically for the learning disabled. I mean, in Tweed Heads, which is not far from where I am, a new school is being built just for children on the autistic spectrum.
That's right.
Why are we doing this? Why is this happening? Dr. Stephanie Seneff, who is a professor at Massachusetts Institute of Technology, says that if the incidence of autism continues to rise the way that it's risen for the last 15 to 20 years, then by 2032, one child in two and 80% of all boys will be on the autistic spectrum. And what is it going to cost this country or any country to take care of children like that who are going to need care for the rest of their lives? Because when we're talking about the autistic spectrum, we're no longer talking about Asperger's, which is high-functioning autism. Autistic children who have social issues. We're talking about full-blown autism, children who cannot take care of themselves. They can't cook, they can't clean, they'll never get married, they'll never have children. They will rely on their families and on society for the rest of their lives. This is a national disaster. And yet, when we have one case of measles in Victoria, without a hospitalization, without anybody getting hurt, and most of the times with the person who got it being vaccinated against it anyway, this is front page news. They spend millions of dollars trying to track all the contacts, the people that they were in contact with. But the fact that one child in 30 in Australia right now is autistic, and very soon it'll be one child in two, that's not a problem.
That's right. Yeah, I know. They go on about the measles, I know.
That's it. The AVN is trying really hard to protect and represent people, but we need people to come forward and help us. So, I invite all of your listeners to come to our website, avn.org.au, and to consider joining. It's $25 a year, and that helps us to do things like putting up billboards, to lobby government, because we lobby government continually, to help inform people and to help protect people in Australia from government overreach and from discrimination. So, and to step forward, we need people to step up, go and see their members of parliament, write their letters, and not be silent on this issue. People are so afraid of someone yelling at them on Facebook. For God's sake, I'm much more afraid of someone telling my children that they have to take vaccines that may kill or injure them.
That's right. And what studies do these pro-vaccination pushers have, Meryl, to prove that vaccines are safe and effective? They're on there making a big fuss, but what do they have?
They have absolutely nothing. Almost every single study that has been performed on vaccines has been designed and paid for by the manufacturer, and they do not contain what is the gold standard in science, an inert placebo, a saline solution, something that has absolutely no effect on the body. They always use either another vaccine as the so-called placebo or the adjuvant, which is the toxic substance that is added to vaccines to induce an immune response. So they do not have science to show that vaccines are either safe or effective. All they have is superstition. And I call vaccines the world's biggest religion right now, because people are supposed to take what doctors and the government tell us about them on faith. And this is not science. You do not ever take something in science on faith. You take it on evidence and on proof. And really and honestly, the government and the medical community and the pharmaceutical industry do not have any proof of safety, effectiveness, or necessity of any vaccine currently used on our schedule.
So how would you like to see this study done? How do we do something like this, vaccinated versus unvaccinated, Meryl, and make it fair and clear for everybody?
So simple. You just get someone to write a computer program and involve the real stakeholders in this, like the AVN, to oversee that what's being done is above board. Write a computer program that will match up the Medicare database with every record in the Australian Childhood Immunization Register, and then one by one go through all of the known side effects to vaccination: diabetes, autism, ADD, ADHD, asthma, the list goes on. I was only on the A's there. And you say, here are the conditions. What is the incidence in the vaccinated, the unvaccinated, the partially vaccinated? And if we see that there is a huge difference between any of these groups and any of these conditions, well, that is, it may not be 100% proof that there is a causal link, but it's certainly enough to say that we have a good hypothesis that needs to be tested with real scientific studies, not the crap that the pharmaceutical industry gives to the government before they license vaccines. We need long-term, independent, placebo-controlled trials of every single vaccine currently in the schedule. And until we can prove that they are perfectly safe and perfectly effective, nobody should be penalized for choosing not to vaccinate.
Absolutely. Very well said. I couldn't agree more.
Thank you.
Absolutely. Yeah, that's right. Unbelievable. We need this, and we need this change, don't we? We absolutely
we do.
It's very important. I would say to all the listeners out there, especially people in the US and Europe and these places, if you want to help us here in Australia and help the AVN, because as I said, Meryl, we do need you guys as the head of this whole movement to really help make a change, and we can all do this together. If you have some money, all you can do is go to the Australian Vaccination Risks Network, AVN, website, and join. It's pretty easy. What is it, $25 a year, you said, Meryl? There you go.
That's
you don't
right.
get any easier
right.
than that, and it really helps you guys to continue your work as well. So please, if you're out there, especially in America, the Australian dollar's dropped quite a lot today, I think.
That's
so.
True.
Yeah, it's probably
about
$19
about
for you. But, you know, that's very fair. I will myself, and people can join up, and that helps you do all this incredible work and erect these billboards. That's amazing on, up there, a billboard for everybody driving around to see. So what's next for the AVN, Meryl, when you get back to Australia to continue forward? You seem like you're holding back no punches now, and you're going to move forward pretty positively.
I'm getting too old to pull punches. I'm 60 years old now, and I really thought this would have been finished by now. I thought we would have had our rights. Instead, it's only gotten worse. There's a lot of things that the AVN wants to do, but one of the things that we really want to do is to host an international conference in Australia with experts from around the world on this issue. We have people who are experts in toxicity. We have people who are experts in allergies. People who are experts in the ingredients of vaccines and in diet and all these things. And we want to bring them out to Australia and have them speak to the Australian public. Getting them into the country
they won't let them
be
in,
an
Meryl.
Issue. I know. But you know what? I think that if we have a huge number of experts, it's going to be very hard for the government to actually keep them out. And we may have to do what we did with VAXXed and just not let people know until the last minute and when they're already here. And at that point, the government can't do anything about it. So, you know, and people have to think, if the government has information to back up their statements that vaccines are safe and effective, why are they concerned about having people speak about something else? Now, I just saw something. I hope I can remember it. It said, truth is like a lion. It does not need protection. It just needs to be set free. And that is exactly what we're doing. We are setting the lion free. And the government is afraid of that lion because they are backed up by lies. And the lion's going to eat them alive. I hope so anyway.
That's right. That was what's the lady, the producer of the movie?
Joan Shenton.
Sacrificial Virgins. Yeah, this is an incredible lady from the UK. They wouldn't let her in the country, or they made it hard. That was very sneaky what they did. Put your visa down the bottom. But they're not actually letting international speakers come in here into this country and talk to people. And then you've got all this army of trolls that are, you know, connected to the media and the government going in there and flooding with complaints. And it really is unbelievable. They will not let people come in here and speak, but they're telling us that vaccines are safe and effective. We'll let these people speak then.
Exactly.
Let them see the films.
What do they have to fear? Yes.
Fear
the only thing they have to fear is the truth.
That's right.
They can't handle the truth.
Well, we're getting an overwhelming amount of information out through websites and everything we're doing in Australia now. It really has exploded, this movement, and there's no stopping it now. It's just going to continue to roll on. It's an avalanche now. And as we want more information and more transparency and truth, so you guys are doing a fantastic job. And
thank you, Adam.
Once you're back in Australia, we'll connect for some more podcasts as we move forward and to catch up and get our listeners out some more information. I know a lot of people in America and other countries want to know what's happening here, because if it happens here, it's going to happen to you. And we don't want any more of these draconian laws being put into place, because it's going to be so hard for us to get rid of them in the future, and our kids are going to suffer and their kids, and we don't want that. We want a fair and just system and future for everybody, and we're not getting it at the moment. So we need to step up and continue forward. And great work on your end, Meryl. You're a fantastic speaker and researcher, and we need you very much. Hope you have a good trip back to Australia whenever you come back, and we'll keep in contact. Plus, I'll send this podcast through to you when I upload it soon, so you can share it on your end.
Thank you so much, Adam, and very well said, your statement at the end. So, yes, we will cooperate and we will power on, because we have truth on our side, so we will win in the end.
We have truth on our side, yes, and truth always wins eventually. All the poo will always flow to the surface, Meryl, and truth and love and honor always wins.
Absolutely. Thank you again, Adam.
All right, ciao.
Ciao.